You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello and welcome to Six Figure Dog Business on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Ty Brown of SixFigureDogBusiness.com. This is the show where we teach you how to start or grow your dog-related business to a healthy six-figure per year profit. Now, today on our show, I'm really excited. We've got a special guest. We're going to be speaking with Monica Layton, and she's the president of the National Association of Professional Pet Sitters. And she's going to give us some wonderful tips on how to grow a pet sitting business. But to be honest, I think a lot of these tips are going to relate to any dog-related business, whether it's, you know, grooming, dog training, pet sitting, dog walking, what have you. She's going to give us some great information on how she's been able to grow her own business and help members of her own association grow their businesses as well. So we're going to go to a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to be with Monica Layton. So stay with us.
Sit. Stay. We'll be right back after a short pause.
It's time for school for you and your friends, your furry best friends. Train your dog the fun and easy way with Teacher's Pet Sessions. Teacher's Pet host Pia Silvani teaches you step-by-step how to train your dog the fun and easy way. You get 8 30-minute live audio training sessions, complete transcripts of each session, plus a basic training manual to get you and your dog off to a great start. Training begins the moment you bring your dog home. Teacher's Pet Sessions offers positive reinforcement training to shape your dog's behavior and encourages upbeat, enthusiastic responses to ensure that your dog will enjoy learning. Teacher's Pet Sessions dog training is fun at both ends of the leash. So listen, learn, and laugh with your dog with Teacher's Pet Sessions. Get your copy of Teacher's Pet Sessions Volume 1 today. To order, go to teacherspetsessions.com.
Hi, this is Pia Silvani, your host. Bring your dog, tug toy, and treats, and get ready to have some fun.
teacherspetsessions.com.
Coast to coast and around the world, it's All Behave with Arden Moore. Find out why cats and dogs do the things they do and get the latest buzz from wagging tongues and tails in Rin Tin Tinseltown. From famous pet experts and best-selling authors to television and movie stars, you'll get great tail-wagging pet tips and have a fur-flying fun time. All Behave with America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore. Every week on demand, this is the place for a special paparazzi treat. Only on PetLifeRadio.com. Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Okay, so we're back, and we've got on the show with us today Monica Layton. How are you doing today, Monica?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing great as well. Thank you so much for being on the show. We've got a really exciting show planned today, so thanks for being on with us. We're looking forward to kind of picking your brain and hearing what you have to say. And so now listeners of the show can go to PetLifeRadio.com and they can read your bio, you know, kind of read, you know, what you've done, where you've been around, that type of thing. But I wanted to ask you real quick before we even got started, how did you get into pet sitting? Where did your love of pets come from?
Well, to be honest, I was working actually in a grocery chain after I graduated high school and, you know, deciding whether I wanted to go to college, what I wanted to do. And it came a time where I moved and I said, you know what, I really want to work with animals. I've always wanted to work with animals. I'm going to make the change. And I went into the veterinary industry as an office manager for a veterinary hospital. And I had gotten to know a lot of the clients really well. And just by chance, I got into pet sitting. One of our really good clients said, you know, I had a pet sitter for years that I really knew and trusted, but, you know, I just moved to the area. I don't know anybody, and you're so great with my animals, and I totally trust you. Would you, you know, be interested in pet sitting for me?
Okay.
And then she told a friend, and then that friend told a friend, and they said, okay, I need to do this as a business.
Oh, well, good, good. And so, and from there, it spawned into a business. Now, I mean, it's one thing to start a business. Now, how have you become the president of the National Association of Professional Pet Sitters?
Well, a lot of things, you know, in growing my business, really getting involved with NAPs and associations and also smaller networking groups for pet sitters has really helped me grow my business and get a lot of insight because, I mean, just through networking along, you get all these ideas from other sitters. And I got involved with NAPs. I started out by becoming a chair of their disaster preparedness committee because that was something that I'd done a lot of work on myself, you know, living in Florida. And, you know, after, you know, working on that committee and a lot of the strides that came out of that committee, I was approached to be interviewed about being on the board. And then, of course, you know, I just worked my way up.
Okay, excellent, excellent. So how many members of NAPS are there?
Right now, there's just over 2,100.
Wow, that's pretty huge. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. And so, okay, and that's one of the reasons we wanted you on this show is because here you are, you kind of preside over an association that has 2,100 pet sitters, 2,100 individuals that are looking to grow their business, looking to earn more money, looking to help more people, looking to just kind of expand their influence. And so we know you've got some great information for us on how that can actually be done. So let me ask you this, because you did talk about, you know, your disaster, and forgive me, you were the chair of the disaster preparedness program. Is that what it was?
Yes.
Okay, so you're the chair of the disaster preparedness program. Now, you living in Florida, of course, that's, you know, very important with all of the hurricanes that you have down there. But why don't we talk about that a little bit? Because I know that's an area of your expertise. What can other pet sitters, because, you know, a pet sitter in Duluth, a pet sitter in, you know, Boston is not going to have to deal with hurricanes. What are some kind of tips that you're going to have to help these individuals grow their business by being prepared?
Absolutely. And that's, you know, just by being prepared, it really shows to your clients. After I started my own disaster preparedness program for my business, I was amazed. Like within a couple of weeks, I had so many new clients just because, you know, I notified my clients of, you know, our new disaster plan. They had to give me information. They had to have disaster kits for their pets in order for them to, you know, be a client of ours because, you know, as we put it, you know, their pet safety is our first priority. So if they're traveling and there's a disaster in our area and we have to evacuate these pets, you know, we can't go rummaging around their house for the supplies. We, you know, we made them have disaster preparedness kits available and we made them outline, you know, people in their area if they wanted us to, you know, bring it to, you know, a family member to evacuate with the pet or they wanted us to bring it to a shelter or keep it in the home. We had an option of programs that they could choose from. And, you know, we came up with initial contracts for the disaster and a whole program to train our staff and to actually train our pet owners, you know, how to safely get their pets ready for disaster. And just the word of mouth, you know, just so many clients I'd heard of that called me and said, you know what, I was talking to my friend and she uses you and my pet sitter has never made me do that. And, yeah. You know, I want to do that. So one, it made business extremely huge. Plus the marketing alone was, I mean, it was such a driver for new clients. But it really helps to set you apart as a professional as well. It shows that you're more than just a hobby pet sitter. And you know, promoting your business, that is vital. You know, you can get the kid next door to do your dog walking, but they're not a professional, and they don't make professional rates. And, you know, that's one thing you need to stay in business. And you have to kind of educate the pet public because a lot of them aren't familiar with pet sitting as much as a, you know, really professional industry. A lot of pet owners still see it as the kid next door walking your dog. And, you know, the kid next door could leave your door open. They could, you know, let the dog, you know, get off a leash or, you know, make sure the leash is on correctly. There's so many things that could happen. And when you hire a professional and when you market yourself as a professional, they know that you're covered. You know, you have insurance, you have liability, you have the training.
Now, let me focus on that because I think you brought up a really excellent point that can help people grow their business. You know, you talked about designing this thing, and it was a prerequisite for people to hire you that they had to have this emergency preparedness kit. And I think a lot of people might look at that, a lot of business owners might look at that and say, no, I could never do that. You know, if I put another barrier in front of my clients, I'm not going to get hired. I need to make things as simple as possible in order to get clients. Now, you found that in this case, the reverse was true, that by putting an additional barrier in front of your clients by saying, okay, you know, it'll essentially qualify your clients and saying, you cannot hire me until this happens, it actually brought you more clients. What's the psychology behind that? How did that happen?
Well, you know, just in my, you know, just thinking about it in general and seeing, you know, from my experience in the vet's office and the clients I had talked to, you know, the people who are hiring pet sitters, I mean, they care about their pets. Their main concern is that their pets are safe. And, you know, I, even for the clients who are really busy, you know, we would offer for a fee to make the kit for them if they didn't have the availability. And that was one thing we also put out there. If it was, you know, because we have a lot of people who, you know, we're go over their house 3-4 times a day, every single day, because they work long hours, et cetera, you know, may have been a little too much for them. But we, you know, we made it easy in the fact that we would offer to do it for them, you know, for a small fee. We would go out and collect all the materials, but really just additional safety for their pets. And I mean, at first, you know, I thought the same thing, you know, maybe they're going to be, you know, upset about, you know, having to do this or do that. But the bottom line is, in order for me to keep their pets safe, you know, we have to have these things in place. And otherwise, you know, as a business owner, I'm setting myself up for liability as well, because if something happens and I don't have it under control, you know, that comes back on me. So it's mainly, you know, knowing that, you know, you're responsible for this pet and its well-being. And, you know, not only does the pet sitter have that responsibility, but so does the owner to, you know, have those things ready for the sitter to take care of it.
And that's a good point. And it really speaks to the industry that we're in as pet business owners, because I think if you were to try that in another industry, you know, you're, to give another barrier of entry if you're a landscaper, or another barrier of entry if you're a personal chef, you know, it might not work so well, because they're going to say, you know what, I don't care about my landscaping that much. I'm not going to work so hard. But with their pet, you know, they're going to say, okay, this person's serious. This person's a professional. And so putting together this kit, that makes sense. And so for someone that might want to implement this in their pet sitting business, what went into the kit? You know, kind of explain the kit a little bit.
Absolutely. The Disaster Preparedness Committee worked, I mean, we've worked for over a year and a half nonstop, and we put together a great program. And actually, pet owners, there's a version for pet owners and there's a version for pet sitters, and they're available at the NAPS website. The pet sitters version consists of all the explanations. So if you're not up to date on, you know, watches, warnings, mitigation, all the different stages of disaster, it has a small overview on how to prepare for anything. And it has everything divided up by sections. Same thing in the pet owner's manual. It'll have what you need to do in case of, you know, fire, hurricane, tornado, terrorism, biohazardous spills, flooding. We just took all the disasters and put them into groups. I mean, it pretty much outlined the basic things that happen during these disasters and what you need to look for and prepare for. And then we also came up with a checklist that has everything that you need for your disaster preparedness kit for the pets. And then in the pet owner version, we have an identification form that the pet owners can fill out. So that way, if you have to evacuate, it has a place for the pet's picture, your emergency information. And then in the pet's sitter packet, we have contracts for the pet sitter to use for their clients and for their business, as well as an operational plan to train their staff and set up their plan totally as far as educating their pet owners.
Gotcha. I just think this is a brilliant idea. Like I say, you know, pet owners just feel so much love towards their pets that to have them do something like this, I think you're right. I think it really made you stand out, and I really think it helped you guys brand yourselves. So now, maybe you don't feel comfortable sharing this. Maybe you do. Could you share what you would charge people to set up one of these kits? You mentioned some of your clients were too busy to set up one of these kits. What would you charge somebody to do that?
I simply charge them $25 above the cost of the materials.
Okay. And maybe it took you like an hour to put it together or something like that?
Yes. And I mean, the thing is that when you offer that as a service, you're providing an extra service to those, you know, pet owners as well. It brings you a little bit of profit in, but when you're doing it to all of your clients, it can be all done at one time. You know what I mean? It's not like you're constantly going here and there to pick up one and two. You know, you just, you know, do it on a weekly basis and go out and, you know, get whatever's in the kit. And you're going to know what you need. It's going to be this, you know, pretty similar to the pets with the example of their food or, you know, medications. But it can all be done very, very little time commitment.
And this is, I want to highlight this because when I consult with pet business owners and I kind of teach them how to get their profits up, this is one thing that I always talk about is finding add-on products, add-on services that you can do that don't take you a ton of time but can bring in a lot of, you know, extra income. So in the case of, you know, in your example, let's say that, you know, in the course of a week, you have five people that want these kits. Well, there's $125 extra in your pocket. And if you can do them all at once, you know, there's an hour of work. And so it's a way to leverage your time, I think, is what you guys found. Instead of, you know, time for dollars all the time, you're able to leverage your time, make more per hour, and provide your clients a valuable service, and market yourself, and brand yourself. And there's a ton of positives in doing this. I think that was just a brilliant idea that you guys came up with. So that was excellent. Now, we'll plug it again at the end of the show, but what was you mentioned that people can find a checklist and all this good stuff on your website. What's your website name?
It's www.petsitters.org, and that's the website for the National Association of Professional Pet Sitters.
Okay, excellent. So like I say, we'll talk about that more at the end of the show, but for those that are listening, I wanted them to be able to go right now online and check that out as they're listening to this show. So great idea for branding, great idea for adding value, great idea for, you know, an additional product. And I know you've got some more information about branding. And so when we come back, we're going to take a break right now. When we come back, I want to talk with you a little bit more about how to establish your brand and how to really make yourself stand out from the crowd. So stay with us. We're going to be right back.
Sit. Stay. We'll be right back after a short pause.
Give your dog some thought with Dog Thoughts. It's the iPhone application that everyone's talking about.
Hey, what do you think of this? A man in Davis, California says he's invented an application for the iPhone that claims it can read your dog's mind. Huh? No, it's true. Now, I read about it on my cat's Twitter page. That's why.
Jay Leno talked about it, CBS reported on it, and now you can see what all the buzz is about. Created just for dog lovers, Dog Thoughts makes taking photos of your furry best friend more fun. Shake your dog and read his mind. On your iPhone, of course. Take a pic of your pup, shake your phone, and watch as his thoughts appear on the screen. Does he have a bone to pick with you, or is he having a tail-wagging day? Get your Dog Thoughts iPhone app today. Just 99 cents. Go to PetLifeRadioPromotions.com. That's PetLifeRadioPromotions.com.
Greetings, human. What planet am I on?
Welcome to Pet Planet. Here's a copy of Pet Planet magazine, Florida's most informative and fun pet resource magazine. It features heartwarming stories and informative articles from local and national pet experts.
Excellent.
Pet Planet magazine offers Operation Planet Rescue, helping rescued pets find new homes. And it's available at 500 locations in South and Central Florida and 24/7 on the internet at PetPlanetMagazine.com. If you're out and about with your pet, you may be featured in Paparazzi, candid pictures of you and your pet. For up-to-date pet-friendly events, activities, and pet-related services and products, Pet Planet Magazine is your final destination.
I shall take this magazine home with me.
Back to your home planet?
No, to my condo in Boca.
Pet Planet Magazine. Check them out at www.petplanetmagazine.com or 352-394-8578. It's out of this world.
Hi, this is Marcy Davis and my service dog, Whistle, and we're your hosts of Working Like Dogs on Pet Life Radio. Working Like Dogs is the show where you can learn everything you ever wanted to know about working animals or working dogs. Whether you're a member of a working dog team, or you've just seen a working dog or animal out at the mall or the grocery store, and you're curious about how these amazing animals work with their human partners, then Working Like Dogs is the show for you. Join us for the inside scoop at Working Like Dogs on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets
on Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Okay, and we're back. And for those of you who are just joining the show, we're with Monica Layton, and she's a professional pet sitter, and she's speaking with us about how to kind of market your services, give value-added services. And what I want to talk to you right now about is branding. And you kind of alluded to it earlier in the show. You talked about, hey, people still think that pet sitting is something that's done. It's the neighbor next door, the 12-year-old boy that comes over and walks your dog while you're gone. That's what pet sitting is. What have you found successful in making yourself stand out and helping the members of your association stand out as business professionals, not the 12-year-old kid next door? What's successful for you guys?
And the main thing as far as branding that I have found really big success with is making sure that your clients know how truly invaluable you are. You know, again, you're not the kid next door. You are a professional. You know, listing things as far as certifications that are available to pet sitters. You know, listing yourself as a professional pet sitter. You know, letting them know that you are bonded, you are insured, you are licensed, you have ongoing, you know, continuing education. There's so many things out there that can really put your business above and beyond, you know, the competition as far as just simply ways to better educate yourself and really, you know, truly set yourself above the competition, but really educate yourself and bring that education to the next level at the same time.
Okay. And how do you recommend to your pet sitters that they educate their clients about this? I mean, because, you know, is it websites? Is it flyers? I mean, what do you recommend to people in order to let people know about their certifications and their affiliations and whatnot?
In my business, I put it on every single medium that I have to contact my pet owners. I make sure they know the first thing they see is, you know, I am certified. I am with the professional association. I'm insured. I'm bonded. And that goes on my business cards. It goes on my website. You know, we do quarterly newsletters to our clients. It's on there. We do email blasts to the clients. It's on there. I mean, every single thing we send out always has the same consistent message. Because in branding, you know, you have to be consistent. It has to be, you know, hitting them over and over and over. So when they hear my business name, I want them to remember these few key things. You know, I'm a professional. I'm certified. I'm bonded. I'm insured.
Okay. And so what would you say are some, like, absolute necessities? Because I imagine there's several different certifications. I imagine there's a lot of things that somebody could put on there. What are the invaluable ones? What are the absolute musts that you would say a pet sitter needs to have if they're going to hang out their shingle?
The very bare minimum is their insurance and their bonding. There's no way to even be a professional pet sitter without having insurance and, you know, insurance and bonding. And that can be done through, you know, quite a few associations. You can also go directly, but as a member of NAPS or any other pet sitting association, it oftentimes comes with discounts for your bonding and insurance. Like NAPS uses Business Insurers of the Carolinas, and being a member, I get a significant discount on my insurance and my, you know, bonding through being a member. Another absolute must is continued education. You know, being certified in this day and age, you know, with the industry growing and growing, if you are not certified, you're really putting yourself out there as a semi-professional. You may do it professionally and you may do a great job, but you don't have that education and experience that pet owners are learning to look for.
Okay. Now, you've mentioned being the continuing education certifications. Are there other things that you can use to brand yourself, to make yourself stand out from the 12-year-old kid next door that we've been talking about?
Absolutely. Like, for example, through the NAPS certification program, you get material, once you've passed the course, you get, you know, your own logos, you get different things that you can add to your business cards, your websites, your brochures, et cetera, that show you're certified. I mean, it's, you know, it's a logo, and it's, you know, used to promote you as a certified professional.
Okay. Now, we've talked about how to make yourself stand out from the 12-year-old kid next door, but now we've got to look at it from a different perspective. You know, in the pet sitting world, I notice a lot more come upon recently now that we've had this economic crisis. There's a lot more pet sitters out there because a lot of moms or, you know, stay-at-home moms say, you know what, we need extra money because my husband lost his job or whatever. I can take care of pets, you know. So now there's a lot more people calling themselves pet sitters I've seen. I don't know if you've seen the same, but what can you do to stand out from the other pet sitters? We're not talking, you know, the amateur kid next door, but people that are calling themselves professional pet sitters, what do you do to stand out?
That's a great question, and that's something that's really big in the industry right now, too, because the industry as a whole is, you know, significantly growing. That's when you get into a lot of different programs to really get your name out there. For example, in my business, the disaster preparedness program that I implemented was something that got me a lot of publicity. I sent out press releases, you know, informing the public about it. I gave free talks to, you know, associations, homeowners associations, schools, you know, about how to prepare your pets for disaster at no fee to the public. So it was really, you know, giving back to the public and giving them knowledge and also letting them know, here I am, this is what I'm providing to you. You know, this is why you should come see me in the future when you need a pet sitter.
That's excellent.
There's other programs in my business that I've implemented, like Presents for Pets is another example. There's a program that was started by the National Association of Professional Pet Sitters called Presents for Pets. And what it is it's a way that every year in November is National Shelter Month. And there's a week that's National Pet Shelter Week. And in my area, we chose a local shelter as well as rescue group that was really in need of items. So what we did was we sent out information to the public, and we also sent it out to all of our clients. And as we were going to our clients' houses to take care of their pets, we left them a wish list of items that those shelters needed. And whenever we were already there visiting with their pets, you know, they would leave a pile, you know, marked presents for pets, and we'd pick it up and then bring it all down to the shelter. And that's something that we could do to give back to that shelter and get back to that rescue group. And at the same time, you know, it showed goodwill, you know, as far as our community. And it also made for great press. We were able to, you know, submit press releases that the PR company that works for NAPS made up press releases for the members to do the campaign to send out in their area. We got really great remarks from pet owners. Even, you know, in the editorial columns, we had people writing in about the program.
Cool.
And, you know, the shelter announced it, the paper announced it. It just got our name out there a lot.
Oh, that's excellent. Now, you mentioned one thing, and I don't want to gloss over it because I think a lot of people could be earning a lot more money if they understood this principle. You talked about public speaking, and a lot of people I know are just terrified of public speaking. They don't think they're ready for it. They don't think they can. But you talked about speaking for homeowners associations and other groups like that. Can we dig into that for just a couple minutes? Because one thing that I always try to teach my clients, you know, those that are trying to build pet businesses, is try to market one to many. If you market one to one, you know, hand out one business card here, one business card there, that's great, you know, but that's one to one, so your time isn't leveraged. If you can market one to many, you know, where it's just you in front of many people, it's obviously, you know, a better use of your time. And so how did you get in front of these associations? How are you able to stand in front of a group of 10, 20, 50, 100, whatever it was, and talk about your message, educate them about something that they needed to know, and in the process, teach them about your business? How did you get in front of them?
In order to get, you know, those homeowners associations and those different groups, you know, church groups, et cetera, in our case, we do talks to the homeowners associations and et cetera on disaster preparedness. So we're providing a service. We're fulfilling a need that they have. And what I did is I just dropped off some of my brochures. I set an appointment, you know, can I, you know, make a time to, you know, meet with your manager, et cetera. This is what I have to offer. And I just, you know, produced a small little marketing kit, which is just a couple pages long, that, you know, said some of the things that I would go over in the talk, how it would be good for them, you know, what they would receive out of the talk, and, you know, let them know that I was doing it as a service to the community. And then, of course, you know, everything, all the promotional material, and make up little flyers with things that I discussed to send home with everybody, and attached was my card, was my website, was my information. And then I also reproduce that materials onto my website. So if somebody goes to my personal business's website, they can pull up that disaster checklist, and they can pull up that, you know, little quiz to see if they're ready. They can pull up, you know, the video on how to create their disaster kit by going to my website. So again, they're, you know, coming back to my business.
That's brilliant. And one thing you mentioned that I don't want to gloss over, you mentioned it's got to be benefit-driven for them. And a lot of people that are trying to maybe give a talk, trying to get on the radio, or trying to get in a newspaper, you're right, they're self-promoting. They go out there and they say how good I am and how great my service is, but nobody wants to talk about how great your business is. They want benefits for their people. They want, you know, whether it's their listeners, the members of their association, what have you, they want benefits. And so that's brilliant. You know, don't gloss over that. Got to be benefit driven towards the individual that you're seeking. You know, it can't go to that association
Absolutely.
And say, here's what's in it for me. It's got to be, here's what's in it for you. And like I say, I haven't heard of that being done in the pet sitting industry, but I think any pet sitter that's listening to this and doesn't figure out a way to implement their business is crazy. You can get in front of a homeowners association hiring your pet sitting or your dog walking services. It's people in condos. That's one of your target markets. And so condos belong to homeowners associations. And so if you can go speak in front of 20 of those people, who do you think they're going to call when they need a dog walker or a pet sitter? Of course they're going to call you, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, so I just wanted to say a huge thank you. I mean, we've gone over some great information. Like I say, there's been some things in here that I really think that pet sitters, if they're not implementing them, would be nuts. You know, going to these homeowners associations and talking about whatever it is you want to talk about, whether it's emergency preparedness or that's going to be benefit-driven towards them, I think you'd be nuts not to do that. I also think you'd be nuts not to implement this system that you're talking about, where perhaps make prerequisite or at least offering an add-on service to make these disaster preparedness kits for your clients. because like you mentioned, it built credibility with your branding. And not only that, you're able to get a ton of press from this, right?
Absolutely.
And so like I say, there's some really golden ideas in here, and I'm really hoping that pet sitters listening are figuring out ways that they can implement that in their business. So what I wanted to do real quick is we've got a lot of people listening to this show. They might be pet sitters already. They might be thinking about being pet sitters. Your association, is that for established pet sitters or people that are looking to get into the business? What's your association about?
It is for both. We have, you know, beginning, how to start your business, how to, you know, build your toolkit. I mean, just the beginning basics all the way to the advanced levels, the mentoring teleconferences, the annual teleconferences. So it would definitely be, you know, it would be outstanding for any pet sitter at any level to join in.
Excellent. Okay. And again, we talked about it earlier, but what's your website name? How can people get in touch with either you personally or with your association?
The association's website is www.petsitters.org, and that's the website for the National Association of Professional Pet Sitters. And then my personal business is www.propetsitting.net.
Thank you so much, Monica, for being on our show. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. I really enjoyed myself.
If you have questions or comments or ideas for a show, please email me at ty@petliferadio.com or visit my website, which is sixfiguredogbusiness.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.